Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump, edited by forensic psychiatrist Bandy X. Lee, is an updated and expanded collection of essays by psychiatrists, psychologists, and other mental health experts assessing the risks they believe Donald Trump posed while serving as President of the United States. The book belongs to political psychology, public psychiatry, and contemporary political commentary, but its central purpose is narrower than a conventional anti-Trump critique. It argues that observable patterns in a leader with extraordinary powers can be evaluated for dangerousness even without a private clinical examination. Contributors discuss personality traits, impaired reality testing, possible cognitive decline, aggression, impulsivity, and the social effects of presidential behavior. The book is also an ethical intervention, challenging the professionally influential Goldwater rule through an appeal to a duty to warn. Its importance lies less in offering a single settled diagnosis than in asking how mental health expertise should respond when political power and perceived psychological risk converge. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, duty to warn as a challenge to the Goldwater rule. One of the central arguments of the book is that ordinary professional restraint may be inadequate when a public figure controls military, diplomatic, and legal powers that can affect millions of people. The Goldwater rule discourages psychiatrists from offering professional opinions about public figures whom they have not personally examined and from whom they have not obtained consent. Lee and many contributors argue that this norm, while important for preventing careless public diagnosis, should not silence mental health professionals when they believe there is a credible risk of harm. Their emphasis is therefore not on curiosity about a politician, but on public safety. The book frames the issue as analogous to a clinician, recognizing a danger that extends beyond a private-patient relationship. This position is controversial because it expands professional responsibility into civic warning and political judgment. Supporters see it as an ethical necessity under exceptional circumstances, while critics see it as a breach that risks turning psychiatry into a partisan instrument. The book is distinctive because it makes this ethical conflict part of its subject, not merely a background controversy. Secondly, dangerousness rather than mental illness is the primary concern. The contributors repeatedly distinguish between having a mental illness and being dangerous. This distinction matters because the book does not argue that mental illness by itself disqualifies a person from leadership. Many people with psychiatric diagnoses function responsibly, and many dangerous leaders may not fit a simple diagnostic category. The book instead examines behavioral patterns that, in the author's view, increase risk when combined with presidential authority. These include impulsive decision-making, intense retaliation against critics, persistent falsehoods, lack of empathy, attraction to domination, and difficulty accepting limits. The reasoning is functional, rather than merely diagnostic. A trait that might be damaging in a private citizen can become far more consequential when attached to nuclear authority, command over federal agencies, and symbolic leadership of a polarized society. This focus allows the book to shift discussion from whether a label is technically correct to whether observable conduct predicts harm. Critics argue that even dangerousness assessments require clinical rigor and may be distorted by political opposition. The book nevertheless insists that risk evaluation is a legitimate professional task when the consequences of inaction could be severe. Thirdly, personality, aggression, and possible cognitive impairment in presidential behavior. Several essays analyze Trump through publicly observable behavior, including speech patterns, public statements, interpersonal conflicts, and responses to criticism. Contributors discuss traits often associated with malignant narcissism, antisocial behavior, paranoia, and impaired reality testing, while some also raise concerns about possible neurocognitive decline. The book does not present these observations as the result of a traditional clinical interview. Instead, it treats repeated public conduct as data relevant to risk. The reasoning is that presidents continuously reveal judgment, impulse control, emotional regulation, and relationship to facts through speeches, interviews, debates, policy choices, and reactions under stress. Contributors argue that a leader who requires constant admiration, attacks perceived enemies, resists correction, or treats factual contradiction as personal threat may make decisions that serve self-protection rather than public interest. The cognitive concern adds another dimension if a leader already inclined toward impulsive or grandiose behavior also shows declining verbal coherence, memory, or flexibility. The risk profile may worsen. This section of the book is among its most debated because it approaches diagnosis indirectly. Its analytical value lies in connecting psychological traits to decision environments rather than merely cataloging unusual conduct. Fourthly, malignant normality and the social spread of distorted reality. Beyond individual psychology, the book examines how a leader can reshape public norms. One of its most influential ideas is malignant normality, associated with Robert J. Lifton, which describes the gradual acceptance of destructive behavior as ordinary when it is repeated by authority figures and absorbed by institutions, media, and supporters. In this view, danger does not come only from one person making erratic choices. It also comes from a social environment that adapts to falsehood, cruelty, intimidation, or norm-breaking until resistance weakens. The updated discussions around shared psychosis or contagion extend this concern by asking how followers may participate in a reality shaped by the leader. The concept is not that every supporter has a psychiatric disorder. Rather, it suggests that groups can behave as if detached from evidence when loyalty, grievance, identity, and media reinforcement override factual correction. This is one reason the book belongs to political psychology as much as clinical commentary. It studies the reciprocal relationship between leader and public. The leader amplifies collective fears, and the crowd in turn rewards and stabilizes the leader. Lastly, presidential fitness, constitutional remedies, and institutional responsibility. The book connects psychological evaluation to questions of constitutional governance, especially the problem of how a democracy should respond when a president is believed to be psychologically unfit. Contributors and supporters have discussed mechanisms such as the 25th Amendment, though the book is not simply a procedural manual for removal. Its broader claim is that mental fitness should be treated as a serious matter of national security and institutional design. The presidency concentrates crisis decision-making in one person, including military escalation, emergency declarations, international signaling, and control over classified information. If that person shows impaired judgment or dangerous impulsivity, ordinary electoral accountability may be too slow to prevent harm. The book therefore asks lawmakers, cabinet officials, journalists, and professionals to consider their own responsibilities rather than treating presidential psychology as private gossip. This institutional emphasis also exposes a limitation. In a polarized environment, mental fitness claims can be interpreted as partisan strategy, especially when experts disagree over methods and ethics. The book stands out because it forces that tension into public view. Democracies need safeguards against dangerous incapacity, but they also need safeguards against politicized misuse of psychiatric authority. In conclusion, The Dangerous Case of Donald Trump is most useful for readers interested in the intersection of mental health, political power, ethics, and democratic safeguards. Mental health professionals can read it as a case study in public responsibility and the limits of the Goldwater Rule. Political scientists, journalists, lawyers, and policymakers can use it to examine how personality, impulse control, and reality testing may affect institutional stability. General readers will find a structured explanation of why some experts considered presidential behavior a matter of public safety rather than mere political style. Its benefits are mainly intellectual and civic. It clarifies the difference between diagnosis and dangerousness, explains how leadership behavior can normalize social pathology, and raises difficult questions about who should assess fitness for office. Compared with many books about Trump, it stands out because its contributors write from mental health disciplines rather than from campaign reporting, memoir, or ideological commentary alone. Compared with ordinary clinical books, it is unusual because it applies professional concepts to a sitting political leader and openly debates the ethical cost of doing so. Readers should approach it with awareness of the controversy surrounding remote assessment, but its central questions remain important for evaluating leadership in high-risk offices. If you would like to support Bandy X, Lee, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.